My Govanan, welcome to the Tolkien Lore Channel. I'm the Tolkien Geek, and a little while ago I got an email from somebody asking a question. And the question was not explicitly meant as a video suggestion, but I'm going to make a video out of it anyway. I'm not going to name the person because it wasn't a video request specifically. But the reason I'm making a video out of it is not because I think I have a really solid answer to the question, because it's a what-if question. It's more because it's a really interesting question in that it highlights how difficult certain what-if questions can be. Now, I've answered what-if types of questions on this channel before, such as what if Faramir was in the Fellowship instead of Boromir, which seems to have been the divine plan, if you will. And there are some things that you can really easily answer in what-if scenarios like that. So, for instance, with the Faramir question, you automatically know that because of Faramir's character, he's not going to try to take the ring the way that Boromir did at Amon Hen. And that has certain implications for things that follow. Not everything that follows necessarily is changed by that, but certain things definitely are. This question, however, is what if Frodo, instead of having the Mithril shirt, or even if he did have the Mithril shirt, was somehow killed in Moria in the skirmish in the chamber of Mazar Mul and didn't make it? So let's say instead of hitting him in the chest, the orc captain that, nailed him with the spear actually got his throat above where the Mithril shirt was and killed him outright. What happens then? That's actually a really difficult question to answer, and we can break it down kind of into two main parts. The first obvious half of what we have to figure out is who becomes the next ring bearer? And that is a hard question to answer, actually, when you think about it. Gandalf, we know, won't do it. Aragorn, we can presume, also probably will not do it. That leaves Boromir, Merry, Pippin, Sam, Legolas, and Gimli. Of these, it's kind of hard to pick which one would be the most likely successor, if we want to call it that. Of course, based on our knowledge of what happens later in the story, our inclination is probably going to be to say, Sam! But that's not really the easy choice that it seems to be, because if you think about it, Sam, being the humble person that he is, we know his thought process when he thinks Frodo is dead on the stairs of Cirith Ungol, and he thinks to himself, I can't take the ring, but I have to. Like, he only takes it because he thinks there is literally no other option. He is the kind of person, he's the best suited of the remaining people probably to take the ring, but he's also one of the people who would be probably the most resistant to it, not for the reasons that Gandalf and Aragorn would be. Gandalf wouldn't because of, as he tells Frodo, if I take it, I'm going to be way too tempted to use it and I will become like the Dark Lord. Aragorn presumably would have a similar resistance, plus the fact that his plan is not to go to Mordor, but rather to go to Minas Tirith and aid in the wars there, and that's really not where you want the ring to be. That's not the plan. Sam has a completely different reason for not wanting to take the ring, and that is basically, I am not the guy who ought to be doing this. I am not up to the task. That being said, that's probably exactly why he would be the best person to take it, and so in this scenario, we could imagine everybody else basically saying, Sam, you're the best person for this, precisely because you don't want it. And maybe they could prevail upon him to take the ring, but it would be extremely difficult because of his extreme reluctance to take it. And we know that he's going to have that reluctance even in the face of a situation of, I'm literally the only one left. So, when he's faced with that situation and still has to really force himself into that choice, it's going to be even harder if there are other options around him. He's going to be thinking in terms of like, well, Merry would be a better pick than me or something like that. So Sam is not quite the easy choice that he seems to be. Boromir, we could imagine, might make a power play here and go, hey, well, as long as nobody else is taking it, I'll take the ring. But there are problems there. Again, Gandalf and Aragorn are going to recognize that we don't want that to happen. We don't want Boromir to take it because he's not going to Mordor. He's going back to Gondor, and that's not the plan. It's also not really clear that Boromir would make a play for that at this stage. Even though we know he is later going to try to take the ring, we've had no cues from the story up to this point that he has intentions in that direction. It's only after we get through Lothlorien that we start getting little hints of Boromir's, at a minimum, antsiness about the whole situation. He thinks a lot of things are silly about the way that the Fellowship is going on. Like, he thinks that going to Moria was a bad idea. He thinks that going into Lothlorien is dangerous. Like, there's a lot of things like that that Boromir is not necessarily on board with the rest of the group. But up to the point of Lothlorien, there's nothing in the story that indicates he is not on board with the general plan of we're taking the ring to Mordor and trying to destroy it. And so it's not clear that he's at a stage at this point in the story where he is willing to really put himself out there and try to assert his own will in the matter and really try to change the course of what the plan is. The other tricky thing about this, too, we have to remember is there might be certain decisions that are kind of left on the table until after the Balrog incident, in which case Gandalf isn't even alive anymore. But, you know, somebody has to pick up the ring, presumably before Aragorn does just pick up Frodo after the fact and thinking he's dead and is about to just get out of there with Frodo in his arms when Frodo kind of comes to. So maybe they make it out without actually, you know, making the decision before Gandalf falls with the Balrog. It's not really clear how that would turn out, but Aragorn at least would still be a voice in opposition to Boromir taking the ring, even if Gandalf is not there. So I think we're still safe in saying that if Boromir even tried this, there would be at least one person making the argument that, no, I don't think we go that route. Whether Boromir, in the absence of Gandalf, really tries to put himself forward and maybe by force doing something at this stage, I don't think Boromir is there yet, and I think the only reason he gets that far with Frodo is because Frodo really is way too small and weak to resist Boromir. But, you know, the rest of the company, I don't think he'd be quite that stupid, even with the desire for the ring. Maybe you could argue that he'd kind of play along and then try to steal it later, but I still don't really see that happening, because he doesn't even do that whenever he's talking to Frodo. He tries to get it by persuasion, and then he just tries outright to get it. Maybe if things had turned out differently and Boromir had lived, and there hadn't been the whole Uruk-hai incident, he might have tried that later. You know, you could always make that argument, but we really just don't see Boromir making those kinds of decisions or doing things that really indicate that this is something that's really on his mind until they're going down the River Anduin. So it's really hard to say that he would be that assertive at this point. Now, what about Legolas and Gimli? There's really very little to say about either of them, honestly, because we get so little of their character, especially up to this point, but even after this, the character development that they get mostly has to do with their own friendship and their connection with Merry and Pippin because of the chase that they go on. And there's not a whole lot that we get about them that tells us anything about how they would think about or relate to the ring. So it's really hard to say in either case. Legolas, on the one hand, seems like a pretty decent pick because he's an elf. Arguably makes him one of the more likely of the company to be more resistant to the temptation of the ring, perhaps. Gimli, in a similar vein, might be because he's a dwarf, and we've already learned in the story itself, dwarves are extremely hard to really subdue with rings of power, and so you might say Gimli being a dwarf, and with his extreme, you know, like, loyalty complex, because he tells Elrond, you know, faithless is he who leaves his friends when the road darkens. That's the kind of person Gimli is. He's going to stick things through to the end, and so you might just rely on his dwarven stubbornness. And so both of them might make halfway decent candidates. Both of them, however, want to go with Aragorn and Boromir to the wars in Gondor, and so, again, not necessarily the best pick. On the other hand, Merry and Pippin also apparently wanted to go to Gondor. Like, apparently when they get to the point of having to make the decision, basically everybody is wanting to go the Gondor route. It's not 100% clear how much Merry and Pippin really wanted that, but Legolas and Gimli clearly did. Merry and Pippin are a little harder to figure. Sam seems to be the only one that really is clear on the idea of what Frodo would do, which would inform his own thinking of what was the best on the topic, because to Sam, Frodo is like the height of decision-making wisdom. But Merry and Pippin, you know, might have, in the circumstances, been like, well, somebody's got to carry on the mission, which is to go to Mordor. Pippin, though, does anybody really think Pippin is going to be handed that ring? I don't think so. Of all the hobbits that are remaining, Merry might be the most likely choice. But even so, with Merry, again, we have extremely limited information about how he thinks about the ring. We know that he witnessed Bilbo use it, and we know that he's kind of been thinking about it for a while in the context of trying to help Frodo do what he needs to do. But again, we never get any indication of how he would actually react to the ring itself. Boromir is the only one, really, that we get a solid idea of how it affects him, because he actually acts on it. None of the other ones do. And we never get an idea of their internal thoughts, either. So it's really unclear how they would make this decision, who would end up with the ring, and how that would, you know, affect the rest of the story. So the first part of our question, which is really key to determining the rest of it, is already off to a, well, it might be Merry, it might be Legolas, it might be Gimli. You know, those seem like the three most likely options. Maybe Sam, but again, he'd be extremely reluctant. So, I mean, it's just really hard to pick among any of those four. But if you don't know who gets it, then it's really hard to pick out, okay, well, what happens next then? But I will point out a few things about what would happen next, again, to kind of talk about how hard it is to figure exactly how this would affect the story. So, going back to Boromir, of course, we know at some point he's going to basically, you know, go off the rails and try to go against the mission, and he's going to try to take the ring from Frodo in the normal story, but what if somebody else has the ring in this other, you know, what-if scenario? Who has the ring might change how he reacts to that. And it also might affect exactly how much of Aragorn's leadership he's willing to accept at this point, because Gandalf has died, the Ringbearer has died, and he, you know, if he did make some kind of play for the ring, you know, after Frodo's death and was rejected, that would probably make him accelerate in terms of his attempt to do something about the whole situation, which would not be pretty. What would that actually look like? Really hard to tell, you know? Frodo is the one in the story at, you know, Amon Hen and all that, and Parth Gallen, where he's the one that's, I need to think, and I need to think for a really long time. And he thinks for a really long time because he knows what he should do, but he's just trying to work up his courage to actually do it. And it's actually Boromir and his actions that really solidify Frodo in what he plans to do. None of the other hobbits probably would have this exact problem. Sam would probably kind of have just a really simple, straightforward, yep, I've got to go to Mordor, and not necessarily think of it in terms of, I need to leave the rest of the company behind. He probably wouldn't be averse to having some people go with him, because he wouldn't want to go alone for, you know, if for no other reason. But this might actually make things a little more tricky with Boromir, because if Sam is just like automatically, oh, yep, gotta go to Mordor, so clearly go in that direction, Boromir now is forced into a position of he's gotta act now, or the ring is just gonna be out of his reach and there's nothing he can do. What does that look like? It's just really hard to even assess that. But again, if we pick any of the other people as the ring bearer, some of them want to go to Gondor. Legolas and Gimli definitely do. Seems like Merry and Pippin maybe were leaning in that direction. Do they let that kind of override the whole mission and use that as an excuse of, well, you know, we can at least go the Gondor way and that's safer, and then try to get into Mordor a less dangerous route, although it's still dangerous, and there's other dangers going to Gondor. The question is, would Aragorn have anything to say on this topic? And I don't think he would, because he leaves it completely up to Frodo, and the options are we go east or we go south and west to Gondor. He never says anything about, well, you know, it's really a bad idea to go through Gondor. It's not really the plan, and you're probably just going to create more problems. He doesn't say anything like that. He basically says, I don't know what Gandalf's plan was, and I really don't know what to tell you either. So Aragorn is kind of unhelpful. So it's entirely possible in this scenario that if anybody besides Sam, and maybe even if Sam, ends up with the ring, they actually go south and west to Gondor, not east to Mordor. In which case, lots of things could be different. For example, if they don't spend, you know, a couple hours there while Frodo is sitting and thinking about how am I going to work up my courage to do what I know I need to do, well, they might actually not get caught by the Uruk-hai, because it's only because they waited around for so long that that happens. Then again, if they start their southward journey really quickly, and then the Uruk-hai come upon where they were camped out, they might be able to follow their trail, and then they end up being chased by Uruk-hai, and then what in the world does that look like? Because if, you know, they're just traveling along toward Gondor, not being particularly careful, because they don't necessarily expect a whole bunch of orcs from Isengard to be tracking them, then, you know, they could be caught who knows where between the Falls of Rauros and Minas Tirith and end up in a similar situation to what happened at Amon Hinn. I mean, who knows how that plays out. In fact, in that scenario, if one of the hobbits has the ring, you might actually end up in a situation where the Uruk-hai do manage to capture the ring bearer, and then, that's kind of a problem. I mean, that makes Aragorn's decision of who to follow really easily, because now he's like, well, we gotta go rescue the ring. I mean, that's just not even a question. And, you know, in the scenario where the whole troop of Uruk-hai is just chasing them and the Fellowship isn't all spread out in a wooded area, potentially you get a situation where the whole battle takes place in kind of an open field and basically everybody in the company gets killed. Like, and here you have to admit, there are certain things that have to be constrained by the story, which is not necessarily logic and most probable outcome, but you also want to make the outcome logical and probable. So a probable outcome of a whole pack of Uruk-hai attacking, you know, 8 members of a Fellowship in open ground is they lose. They just all get killed. Whereas the story outcome can't do that. Aragorn can't die. The ring can't end up in Isengard. I mean, you see what I'm getting at? Like, there's certain problems that arise here because the most probable logical outcome of some of these events destroys the whole story, because the story has to go a certain direction for it to end properly, but you can't reasonably make that work in a world where things are supposed to be realistic. You know, Aragorn is a great fighter, and he's not going to be scathed in the Battle of Pelennor Fields, but it's a full-pitched battle with armies on both sides. It's not 8 people against a whole squadron. You know, that's just not what's going on. You might imagine a scenario where they could fight off the Uruk-hai and get lucky. Maybe they run into a bunch of, you know, Rohirrim by luck, or, you know, whatever. Maybe Legolas manages to shoot a whole bunch of them before they actually get close enough to engage in hand-to-hand combat, and that, you know, saves them. Maybe they make it to a place that's defensible. I mean, you can imagine various things, but yeah, you have to make up a lot of stuff to make that really work. Another possibility, since the Uruk-hai are running around with, you know, goblins from the Misty Mountains and orcs from Mordor, is that the Mordor orcs end up with whoever the ring bearer is and hightail it across the river. And then what do you do now? We also have to figure out how Gollum plays into all this, because Gollum is going to follow the ring to the extent that he can figure out who has it. And if he knows where the ring goes, and it's interesting enough thinking about how did he know exactly who had the ring in the scenario where Frodo crosses. I mean, he was probably waiting around in the river somewhere. But if the ring gets captured in a pitched battle and Gollum doesn't know who has the ring, that's going to make it mighty tricky for him to do something. But if a Mordor orc is the one who takes whoever the ring bearer is and takes him across the river, we could imagine a weird scenario where Gollum has to rescue whoever that ring bearer is in order to get the ring back. And then you end up with something like what happens in the story, but just not with Frodo and Sam, but with whoever. I mean, this is the kind of thing you have to account for. But also, if Mordor orcs take him across the river, then Aragorn is probably chasing him too, in which case, who gets to him first? Gollum or Aragorn? And if Aragorn gets to him first, does Gollum ever even, you know, meet up with who the ring bearer is and take him anywhere? I mean, just so many things that you can't even calculate the probability of. You see the problem? And this problem arises in some of the other videos I've done, like the Faramir one, because you can predict certain things about what happens if Faramir is in the Fellowship instead of Boromir. There's no fight on Amon Hin between, or not on Amon Hin, but near Amon Hin, between Faramir and Frodo in the way that there is between Boromir and Frodo. And so you know that's not going to happen, but the way that affects other things in the story starts to become a little more murky the further down the chain of causation you get. Here, the chain of causation is already so murky because we don't even know who the ring bearer is going to be and how that will affect the decisions they make about where they go in the very near future beyond this. So it just gets so muddy so fast that it's a what-if question that is extremely hard to answer. We also have to think about, does Aragorn still end up doing something with the Corsairs? If he doesn't end up in Rohan, because they never went that way, because they didn't have to chase, you know, non-ring-bearing hobbits captives down, then he doesn't end up with the Palantir, and therefore he doesn't see the Corsairs, and therefore he doesn't even know about them, and therefore he doesn't go and stop them. Which is a problem, because that kind of has to happen for them to win the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. Does anybody go to Rohan and help Gandalf rouse Theoden to, you know, fight against Isengard? I mean, that apparently isn't going to happen unless, again, Uruk-hai catch up and capture somebody. You know, you have to either make the story happen kind of the same way, despite the fact that Frodo is gone, which seems so ad hoc, or you have to admit that some of these story elements are going to change. And calculating which is the most likely, but still capable of taking the story in the direction that it needs to go, is extremely difficult. If the ring does go to Gondor, and then, you know, they get anywhere near Minas Tirith, what is Boromir going to do at that point? At that stage, if he's still alive, why on earth would he let him go? Because at that point, he's like, well, I've got the ring where I want it now, and all I've got to do is get enough help to keep it here and not let it go east, and now we can do my plan. There are so many different things to think about and consider and calculate here. It just becomes overwhelming. And this is just scratching the surface, because all these decisions lead to further things down the road in the war, in how the ring bearer gets to Mordor, which is a thing that has to happen somehow. So it's an absolute mess trying to figure out how it all plays out. And part of that is because Tolkien is not giving us enough information to sort all that out. A good story never does. A good story never tells you all the information you would need to calculate how a slight change would affect everything downstream, because that's too much information in a story. What we need to know for the story is what the storyteller tells us, not everything else. So that's why I wanted to do this as a video, because it really does highlight the dangers of doing a what-if video, which is why I haven't done very many of them. I've done a few, but only when I thought I could competently and intelligently say, you know, there are certain things that we can be fairly clear about what would happen in this alternative scenario. Even if some of the more downstream effects are a little harder to peg, you know, there are some things that we can know with some certainty. Here, the uncertainties start almost immediately, and it just gets murkier from there. So this is why what-if questions, while interesting, are often kind of just dead ends. They don't go anywhere because we don't have enough information. We don't know enough about Merry and Pippin's psychology or Legolas and Gimli's psychology. to really say for sure who end up with the ring. It's just a really tough question, just getting off the ground with that first thing that we have to know. So yeah, this is just a big, huge question mark. And I apologize to the person who sent me the email if this is not exactly the answer you were hoping for, but I really don't know how to come up with a better answer, because it's just really too amorphous at this point in the story to figure out how Frodo's death in Moria would affect everything else. But it provides an interesting window into why what-if questions are both tantalizing and at the same time dangerous, in the sense, not dangerous in the sense that we shouldn't ask them, but dangerous in the sense of it's really hard to answer them with any kind of confidence. So that's why I thought this was worth making as a video. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up, share it around. Make sure you subscribe if you want to catch my future content. Click the bell icon on YouTube if that's where you're subscribing to make sure you don't miss anything. Check the description below for support and social links. Don't forget to follow me on the platform formerly known as Twitter for Tolkien-related trivia questions. And until the next time, I am the Tolkien Geek, signing out for the Tolkien Lore Channel. Namarie.
Thanks to all my channel supporters, especially Paul Leone, Nathan Dufour, and Robert Kindling.